Welcome, everyone. This is Gary Carpenter again with Prepare for College, and that's prepare, the number four, college.com. Today we're going to go to step number two that we started. We started the 12 steps last week, but this is number two, and Al Hoffman's going to take it right away with us. So, Al, it's right to you.
So as we go through these, it's the introduction to kind of set the stage will be review first. So the first of the 12 dominoes, if you will, as an analogy, is what is my SAI / EFC? SAI is what the Department of Education's nomenclature talks about for your ability to pay, student aid index, SAI. And EFC, expected family contribution, this is what the College Board CSS profile uses. Now, everybody uses the FAFSA, but only about 10% of the colleges use the CSS profile. So before you can begin the college process, is my humble but accurate opinion that you should know what the colleges expect from you. Now, you may get better, but you need to know what the SAI is and the EFC is for the appropriate college that your child is applying to. Our second step today is financial planning. Have a college-trained financial planner. In the world of college, there's kind of two types of financial planners. There are the people that specialize in filling out the financial aid forms, and they're easy to find. Some accountants have taken on this task, and it deals with the interpretation. I know that when people put their fingers to the keys and type out that I have $10,927 in the savings account, and they go, is that right? Did I do that right? And so with a planner, you can be assured that you are accurate. Now, I told you as well in this 12 series that we would go through whether you need a planner or not. I really don't think you need a planner to do the first step to get a general idea of what it's going to cost you. Although there might be a couple of interpretive questions, but for the most part, you don't need a planner for the step domino number one, the SAI, the EFC. But obviously, if you're going to use a college-trained financial planner, well, then step number two is, yes, you're going to use a planner. But again, the two types of planners are those people that specialize in the filling out of the financial aid forms that colleges use to determine how much assistance they're going to give you from them. And that's the FAFSA, the profile, and institutional forms of need-based nature. Not everybody has the institutional forms. A few more people have the CSS profile, and pretty much everybody, with the exception of just two or three colleges in the entire nation, use the FAFSA. So it's going to touch everybody's lives, and it is a form that really needs to be filled out. Even if you're not going to file for financial need, there's a question on the Common App, right, Gary? They say, oh, am I going to file for financial need? Because you're filling out the forms does not mean, and I repeat, does not mean you're filing for financial aid. You are simply doing what the colleges would request of you. In other words, Gary, back me up on this. If you was to call a college and ask them, should I file the FAFSA? I make $11 million. And what are they going to say?
File it. Absolutely, yes.
Why? I don't know, except that I do believe strongly they want to know, very strongly want to know, what your ability to pay is. And actually, it's kind of sad in a way, but you know, if you make $11 million on your adjusted gross income line, number 11 on your tax return, you probably have a slightly better chance of getting admitted than somebody else. And that's kind of the dark side of the college's capitalistic side of the colleges. But it is there. And so, yes, you file the forms no matter what, no matter what. It just doesn't, I know it may not make any sense to you, but you have to file the financial aid form. So that type of financial planner is definitely needed. But then there are those financial planners who using insurance products, annuities, universal life policies, whole life policies, term policies. There is a part of the law that allows assets inside of these tax-deferred vehicles to not be counted in the formula. So I'll exaggerate for the sake of discussion. Let's say that your adjusted gross income is only $40,000, and let's say you have $5 million in an annuity. So what do you have for assets? You don't count the $5 million because it's a tax-deferred annuity. So this is a part of the law that creates some division between people as far as need. Do you need this money? No, I don't need this money. But it is to make it a level playing field. They do not count these tax-deferred vehicles in the formula. This is the way that was with the old formula with the EFC. This is the way it is with the CSS profiles, EFC. And this is the way it is with the FAFSA's Student Aid Index. They're all consistent on this thing, and that is tax-deferred vehicles are not counted. The only ones, there are a couple that are counted, but the only ones are IRAs and SEP IRAs. Contributions are counted, not the principal amount, just the contributions. So just to be able to say not the principal amount, not the contributions, is something that some people would get tripped up on, because they would say, oh, it says, what is my IRS? And they put the IRA, they put that in there. No, no, no. No, it's your contributions. So it's, the questions actually are pretty clear, but they're clear only to people who have done thousands of FAFSAs and they understand what it's looking for. So that's why step two of the 12 dominoes that we're going through is going to be clearly pushing you to consider using one of these two or both of those type of financial planners, college-trained financial planners. One of the financial planners' tools for college, particularly early people, is the 529 plan. So if a financial planner says, oh yeah, I have a plan for college, it's called a 529 plan, and that's all they offer you, and they don't give you any other kind of input about annuities or IULs, indexed universal lives, or whole lives, then you probably should run the other way, because that's not the only product in town. It's a good product. Don't get me wrong. It's a good product, but it's not the only product. And everybody's situation, particularly financial situation, is different. Some people have saved a lot. Some people have saved nothing at all. Some people have are self-employed and can do some other things that W-2 type employees cannot do. But there is definitely a need for a shoulder to put your hand on and say, how does this work again? And that's your consultant, and that's your financial trained college planner. Gary, you do the first part. You help people with the FAFSA and the profile, and you actually
yes, and I think where this value comes in is that there are certain things that are required to be reported, and then there are other things that don't have to be reported, and it gets complicated between the FAFSA form and the CSS. And I'll just throw one out for you. If you have a personal residence, you don't report that on the FAFSA form, but you do report it on the CSS profile. And this is just one of many little quirks or rules you need to know in order to file the forms correctly. So if there's an advantage to using someone who does this professionally, from a financial standpoint, it's that they'll know what the rules are. They'll know how to complete these forms correctly and how to review them with you so you know what you're submitting. So,
in addition to the filling out the forms accurately, then there's the other side of the coin. And that is sometimes the colleges are going to look at that form and or even say, here's the other example. The colleges say, we don't have your form. We don't have your FAFSA. And yet you know that you helped the family complete it. And so a professional will know what to do. And a person who has never done it before may have been able to fill out the forms, but have no idea how to talk to the college about how to find their lost FAFSA. it's actually pretty simple, but and yeah. I'll bring it up right here. Just give the college your DRN number, your document routing number. But at the same time, just the fact that a person has to know that, DRN doesn't mean anything to a layman, but it means a lot to a professional who's trying to help you. So, and FSA ID and password issues, and the new FAFSA's FSA ID and password system, the double verification system. There's just a lot of little areas here where you can get stumbled and fall flat on your face if you don't do it right. One of the things, Gary, you would never say this because you're not that way, but one of the things that is to say, well, then, okay, fine. You convinced me. I need to use a planner. So where do I find one of these planners? Are they listed in the Yellow Pages? Well, no, not really.
You're dating yourself, okay?
yeah, I am. So there is an organization out there that has academic planners and college-trained financial planners. It's National College Affordability Group, NCAG. On the internet, it's ncagonline.org. NCAG, National College Affordability Group, online, just the letters, ncagonline.org. And in there, you will find planners that are college-trained financial planners of the variety of step number one and of the variety of step number two, you know, the professionals that fill in out the forms and the professionals of how to what they will tell you. And I like it, actually. It makes a lot of sense. Balancing your resources between affording college and affording retirement at the same time. And that's what a good trained, college-trained financial planner will do. And they're not just going to just list 529s. They're going to try to show you how to balance that whole situation out. And it is a unique situation, but it can be done. I've seen it. Gary, the NCAG was founded by you and three other guys. One of them was me. but at the same time, it is still there today, and it is it does have these individuals that you can take stock in and trust. And as we give out this podcast, I'm going to tell you this is a place you can go. There's a couple others, but I'm biased towards the NCAG, of course. Gary, I'm dating myself. They're not the Yellow Pages. So you may not even know what that is. Never thought about that, really. But Gary, that's the second domino of the 12 dominoes of the college process, this whole series of talks that we're going to do. And this is number two. Number three is next week. We will talk about what are the standardized test scores and how are they available, or what are they to the college process. So a little teaser for next week. And we did the SAI EFC last week, and this week we did the college trained financial planners. Gary, I'm all set here unless you have a few more words to give.
No, I think you've covered it very well, Al. So, again, this is going to be recorded. It will be on our website. It's prepare4college.com. And, again, that website for the NCAG is ncagonline.org. So until next week, have a good week, and we'll be talking next Monday or Tuesday. Thanks, everyone.
Have a good week, Gary. Bye-bye.